Turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians and chapter 4. And the last verse. It's amazing what the Lord has opened up to us in this chapter. And we've preached things like 71. I think today will be like 72 messages from this chapter. Probably close next week with being the 73rd message. Could we have gone through it quicker? Well, we asked we could have. But that wasn't the way we were led or disposed of to do, and so it's certainly been a great study. It's been a needful study. All our churches, the Lord's churches, need to grasp hold of it and glean the great truth that is presented in this chapter, the first half of it. At least down through verse 16, most definitely, they need. But, as we are witnessing in our day and time, we need the last 15, 16 verses as well. Because there is a great falling away. See the tendency of many to go back and to live as the unsaved live. And as we've learned and seen, that's not fitting. That's not fitting for a child of God. That's not fitting for a church member to do that. So, verse 32, the last verse of this chapter, by no means ends the thought that we're dealing with in this chapter. Because chapter 5 continues on with our walk. In fact, chapter 6 continues on and concludes with our walk. So, basically, we could say these last three chapters, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, are dealing with our walk as a child of God and as church members of the Lord's church. So after exhorting us of six vices that ought not to be in a church member's life, ought not to be in a Christian's life, he now tells us, if you please, what we ought to do, how we ought to be. And as we think about these, think of them in conjunction with those six vices that we just came from. You see, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking, the malice that is to be put away from us. Well, this is how you ought to be. Those things aren't that way. But verse 32 is what ought to be. In other words, you replace those things with this. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you get that? Well, that forgiveness part is going to be kind of a big part. So probably when we get to that today, we'll probably stop there. We'll probably just deal with the first two today. Might be short. Might be 15, 20 minutes. And be kind. Be kind
What if you wanted to be kind? He said, and be. Just a two-letter word. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Well,
it means to become. We're become kind.
Yes, amen.
It means to begin to be. Oh, so that one really fits when you consider bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, and begin to be kind. In other words, those things aren't kind. They aren't becoming a child of God.
But we ought to become kind. We ought to begin to be kind. And of course, that develops. It might come in stages. But it's to begin to be so.
So, this is a behavior that we are begin to be. We are to become. You see, we might start out that way. We begin to become. But we are to be to become eventually. To become this. We are to be well, shall we say, useful to one another. Useful to one another. Our word kind. Our word kind here, it means fit for use. It means useful. To one another, we're to be fit for use. We're to be useful to one another. That's kindness. We are to be useful to one another in contrast to being
bitter.
In contrast to being full of wrath, anger, crying out evil against them.
With ill will, ill intents toward them. In other words, we're not to have evil behavior of any shape, kind, towards one another.
Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, and I guess with the six vices, we kind of fell into a pattern of looking at instances where the words were used. And that pattern continues itself here. What better way than to see the meaning of word than to see how it's used in other places in the scripture? One of the best places I think to go is to our example. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And notice what Jesus said here in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 11. He said, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now I'm going to pick your brains a little bit. Where is our word here? Remember back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, our word is, "And be ye kind." So, and this is what Jesus says here. "And my burden, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Where's our word kind? There's a word there that is the same Greek word that is used back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And there's two that might right off appear to be that word. When you think of the meaning of the word kind, from back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, there's the word easy. His yoke is useful. It is fit for use. And my burden is light. My burden is fit for use or useful. Well, which one does it fit better? Well, it fits better. My yoke is useful. My yoke is fit for use. My yoke is gentle, it's easy, it's fit for use. That's our word. The same Greek word translated easy here and translated kind in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And you can see the usage here. Jesus said, my yoke is ready for you. My yoke is fit for use. It's useful. Well, what we're being admonished in the book of Ephesians is to be like that. Like Jesus' yoke said his yoke was. And certainly everything we would say about Jesus Christ fits that bill, right? Jesus Christ is fit for use. He's useful, and there's none greater than Jesus Christ. That's what you and I are to be. You and I are to be that way to one another and be kind one to another. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke and chapter 5 and verse 39.
I believe when we came here to Grace, Brother Mike was using a study going through some of these types when we came here. And the one here is versus new wine and old wine. And notice what it says here. No man also having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. What's he saying there? What's common? Wine gets better with age. It's more fit. It's more useful. It's fit for use, is what he said. The old wine is fit for use. The aged wine is fit for use. I don't know a lot about wine. I know, you know, it takes a while for it to become wine. The leaven to get worked out of it. And once that leaven's worked out of it, but, you know, the wine connoisseurs, shall we say, they get better with age. And it's borne out in Scripture.
Jesus, the first miracle we have recorded for us in the book of John, chapter 2, when he changed the water into wine at the marriage feast of Cana. I mean, they were amazed, and they accused the ones that put on the party, the marriage feast, of holding back the good wine, the old wine, until last. You know, when general practice was you gave the good wine, the old wine at the beginning, and people would drink and get drunk, and then you bring on the new wine, and they wouldn't know the difference because they're drunk. That was the principle there. So the principle is that the old is better than the new. But our word is better. It's more fit for use. As it fits to wine, and we would say it's the old wine is more palatable, is a word that I would use today. Not fit for use, but that fits, doesn't it? Palatable, fit for use. Yeah. What I'm saying is it's more fit. It's more fit for drinking. You see, yeah, it's more effective, more, it resonates with the palate, and I don't have a fine palate for that kind of thing. You know, but those that do, you know, boy, they can, I mean, I'm amazed. I have watched some of those guys sometimes, and they can write down to tell you the ingredients that's in it. You know, they use this fruit, and they use that fruit. And, okay, how do you know all that? You know, but the word is better, kind, fit for use. Look, you and I, at the time of salvation, praise God, we were saved. Our salvation is unto completeness. We understand that. But it was not complete at that moment. I mean, if he'd have taken us right then, it would have been complete right then. But it's a process. We call it progressive sanctification. It's a process of sanctification in the life. And in other words, we should get better with age. As a Christian grows, he leaves the milk. And he goes on to the more solid foods. He goes on to the meat and the potatoes. You see. And as he goes on to the meat and potatoes, you see that working in their life. It's just like you watch a child that grows from being an infant and grows into being a toddler and then into a juvenile and then into a junior high and then into their teens and then into adulthood. You see, and the process continues. You and I as Christians, we are not to be stagnant in our life. We ought to be continuing that process. We ought to be becoming more fit for use. That's what we're being admonished to in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. That progress is to be being taken. We're to be putting off these things and we're to be putting on these things. We're not to be looking like this anymore, but we're to be looking like this. And behaving like this. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. In verse 33. A verse that, I've used often. You've probably heard it referred to often by others. But he said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, there's only one obvious word that it can be. Our word. The word good. Kind. fit for use, useful. In other words, what he's saying here, if it's not fit for use, if it's not useful manners, then it's evil. And as we associate with people of evil behavior, it's going to corrupt our useful manners, our useful behavior. I said, why is that? It is because we're in this flesh. That's the only answer I've got for it. It's the truth. We're in this flesh. This flesh wants it. As we associate with others who are doing it, we find ourselves doing some of the same practices. And it had not ought to be. You see, over the years I've looked at that verse and I said, yeah, you know, we ought to be the example to them. But that's why we're admonished to come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. You know, we have to work with them. We have to grocery shop with them. We have to be around them. You have to be around them to give them the gospel. But don't let them become your friends. Your close friends that you're associating with all the time, and first thing you do, you go to their parties. You go to their places of endeavor. Next thing you know, you're partaking in their evil deeds. You see? That behavior we're trying to gain here is kind. Be kind one to another. We're trying to be useful to one another. Not bitter, not full of wrath, not full of anger, not clamoring, not evil speaking, not full of malice with them. Another passage I want to look at is Romans. Romans chapter 2 in verse 4. Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? There's two words here translated, goodness. However, they are different. I mean, they're different Greek words. The first one, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, it is a word that means explicitly moral goodness. Moral goodness. The next word, not knowing that the goodness of God, that's our word. That the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the fit for use, useful of God. God is useful. God is fit for you. God is fit. God is where it's at, we would say. Can't go wrong serving God. Now, the two words are kin, though. And I didn't make the... Yes. The latter word, the word that I said is our word, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Praise God. Praise God that he did. Praise God that his being fit for use, his usefulness was to lead me to repentance. Comes from the word moral goodness. Comes from actually two words meaning moral goodness. You see, the fitness for God, the fitness fit for usefulness, is unto moral goodness. It is morally good for me to be kind one to another. It is morally good for you to be kind one to another. It is not morally good, a fit for use, for me to be full of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, or malice. You see, yes, we're better to be like God. We're better to lead people through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to lead them to repentance. I'm not afraid to say that. Yes, we know proper theology, that God is the one that does the work. But Paul talked about him being their father in the faith. He led them. He preached the gospel to them. He led them to Christ. He led them to repentance and faith. So I don't have a problem by saying that. We are to be useful to lead others to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One more scripture. And, maybe we've looked just... Yeah, there's... If my memory serves me correct... First, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. If my memory serves me correct, this word that we're looking at here in Ephesians 4 and verse 32 and these passages is only used 7 times in the New Testament. And twice it was rendered kind, and the rest of the times that it was used was one time each for them, which was goodness, gracious, good and goodness and easy. Gracious. Look at 1 Peter 2, in verse 3. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That the Lord is fit for use, useful. Going to benevolence. Mm-hmm. He is benevolent. That's what our word means. It's we ought to be replacing bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. We ought to be placing it with benevolence. Those things aren't benevolent. Think about it like this, and we'll be dealing with it when we get into chapter 5, but not so much as it pertains to these, but it does. Think about those 6 vices. What do they all stem from? Selfishness. Why don't we become bitter? because they did something we don't like. Well, what's that? That's selfishness. Why do we become full of wrath? Why do we become angry? As I look back on my life and when I became angry, and even now when I become angry, why do I become angry? Because you've done something I don't like, or you don't agree with me. Right? That's what we do. It's selfish. It stems from selfishness. Kindness is the opposite of that. It's the opposite of selfishness. It's being useful for others. It's being benevolent to others. And he said, if you are newborn babes, and just like newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby, that's not a period there. If so be that ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. You desire to grow. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, if you've tasted the benevolence of the Lord, if you've tasted the usefulness of the Lord to you,
yes,
to you. Let us think about that. How good has God been to you?
Amen.
Well, I don't know. You don't have to live the kind of life I have to live. Boy, if you had to walk in my shoes, you wouldn't think he was being very kind to me.
Did he save your soul?
Amen. Amen.
And you didn't deserve it?
Yes.
That's the utmost kindness. That's the utmost benevolence he could have showed you. Have you tasted salvation in and through him?
Yes, amen.
You see? See? We're to be like that because we have been blessed so by him. We're to be that to others. We're to love those that are his. And we're to love those that may not be his yet, but the potential's there. The potential's there. Everyone out there that does not name the name of Christ is a potential.
Yes, amen.
You see, they don't have written across their forehead the elect of God, chosen of God. They may be. That have that potential.
Yes.
And the only way I'm going to find out is by giving them the gospel.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see.
Amen.
So we're to be kind to one another, gracious to one another. We're to be full of goodness to one another. We're to be good to one another. We're to be easy on others. Next word is tenderhearted. You know this word, tenderhearted? It's only used two times in the New Testament. And it means having strong bowels. Whenever we see the thought of bowels in Scripture, it's talking about compassion. Our bowels, our inwards are to yearn for one another.
Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted. We're to have bowels that yearn, that long for good to one another. That's the meaning of the word. It deals with compassion. We talked about it a little bit this afternoon. I don't know if you realized it when we were eating lunch. And our brother was relating an instance that Friday night, was it? Had a meal paid for. Of course, he's an elder gentleman. He's sitting there and he's dining alone. And he didn't notice anyone else around, just a couple over there. And he went to pay for his bill, and well, that couple that was in there paid for your bill. Well, they witnessed this elderly man dining alone. And they had compassion on him. They had compassion on him. I've seen that. When we eat out, I see an individual. I stopped short of paying for their meal, but I kind of pitied them. That's the second place that it's used in the New Testament. Pitiful. Turn with me to the second place that it's used. One is here in our text. The second one is 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, be pitiful. The word is pitiful here. It is tender-hearted. It is have bowels, strong bowels that yearn to be a help, to be a blessing to others. Our brother has shared numerous times about he prays in the morning, Lord, help me to be a blessing to someone today. Well, I would say he's yearning to be a blessing to someone, or he wouldn't have prayed that way. You see? That's our word. Versus being bitter. Versus being having wrath. Versus being angry. Versus being crying out loud against somebody. Versus evil speaking of them. And versus malice. Being full of evil intent toward them. Or to be kind. Having bowels of compassion that yearn, that long to be of help, to be a blessing, to aid them in some way. Next week we'll go on with forgiving. Nobody likes to talk about forgiving. Well, our verse says, Christ forgave us.
Amen.
Christ forgave us. Because He forgave us, we're to forgive one another. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer.